It's Thursday, June 9th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. We've got a great show lined up for you tonight. And boy, lots going on here. And the studio is put back together. It had been kind of tore down a little bit today. We'll talk a little bit about that here in a few moments. But got a great show lined up for you. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central, coming to you as live as I can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran, and I encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all our great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcasts available via the podcast link on the website. If you're new to the show, the very first thing you should do when you get to GNC is sign up for the newsletter and get subscribed. And getting subscribed is very, very simple. All you got to do is really just jump on the website. You'll see on the second column of the website an orange box. It's got all the shows that are part of the Geek News Central family. And you'll see an audio or video podcast for this show. You'll see our special media events feed. You see the Morning Tech Show, which happens every Saturday that I'm in Honolulu. The Gadget Professor, which has a new episode out. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. And, of course, Robot Underpants. So subscribe to all the shows. That way you'll always get those delivered directly to your media player. So that way you won't miss a single episode. Same thing with the newsletter. The newsletter is really your kind of your gateway to getting information about the show when you may have maybe forgotten about it. Basically, the email will drop in your inbox and you say, oh yeah, there's a new show out, I need to check it out. And we produce a show on a schedule. Every Tuesday and Friday morning is when the Geek News Central podcast is released. And then Saturday morning, it's Saturday Morning Tech. Mondays is Robot Underpants. And then Thursday afternoons is the Gadget Professor. So full schedule of shows for you, here for you to watch. I knew Don just kicked out a new one today. I think you're going to be pretty excited about that. He's going to be talking about the Roku and 5 additional content options. And he promised me there's going to be an audio feed coming too. So for those of you that have been asking for an audio feed, well, that should be, I hope, up soon. I think they're going to go ahead and recompile the video that they did this week and put in, the audio up. And also I've asked Langley over at Robot Underpants to do an audio version as well. We'll announce those RSS feeds when those shows have their specific audio feeds up. Well, lots going on here. And, of course, if you're watching tonight at live.geeknewscentral.com ad-free, we hope you are. Or if you're watching over on Ustream and getting punished with the ads, either way, thanks for watching tonight. Of course, if you want to watch us post-show, you can watch us via the Roku, Boxy, Samsung IPTV, or a variety of other different devices as well. And basically, any glass, any place, any time is how this show is my motto here on where you can consume the content. You can almost guarantee it. If you have a device, you can watch the show or listen to it no matter where you're at. If you've got comments on today's show, the best way to reach out to us is call our show hotline. Show hotline's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for your venting or commenting pleasure. And that can be found at area code 619-342-7365. Those of you that are overseas can reach out to me at +1 619-342-7365. And of course, email is always available as well at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at geeknews at Twitter. Of course, direct message or anything, just let me know what you want to hear about. If anything you want me to cover during the show, I am open to suggestions, and we do take all of your comments and talk about them on the air. Hey, one thing I want to do is right off the bat, we had a contest where I was supposed to give away a prize on the last show. And I screwed up. I did not, wasn't fully prepared. I had basically wasn't ready. and I'm ready tonight. So we went through, and we didn't get a lot of responses on which entry was the best. But Thomas Krijar, I apologize if I destroyed your last name. He's our winner in that contest. And Thomas, I'm going to give you a choice. You can take a Roku or an Apple TV, one of the other. You choose which one you want. And let me know what your address is, and we'll get one ordered and shipped out to you. So an Apple or a Roku, either or. And we hope that you will like. Hopefully you don't have one already. If you do, let me know. Maybe we'll come up with something alternative. But again, Thomas Krijar, Krijcar. And he had the one where basically he's talking about internet's going to be everywhere, when they're no longer going to be carrying cell phones because they're basically going to be almost like embedded in us. He's talking about being able to use virtual devices that would be on our body actually to interact with different things, and vehicles will be driving themselves. So I think it's a pretty good prediction of where we're going to be in 20 years. Got some comments later in the show today. We'll cover those when we get to the end of the commentary tonight. But hey, as always, I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. And of course, GoDaddy is really the company that is responsible for keeping the lights on here. And I really want to say thanks for all of you that listen to the show, that support our sponsors. You know, we have a variety of sponsors now that are coming through the show, and I hope that you're paying attention to the offers, because really your response rate, your reaction to the advertisers is what's going to make them determine whether or not this is a viable medium to advertise in. What we're finding now with our new sales gal is that a lot of companies want to advertise in new media, into podcast, but they have this hard time grasping that it costs a little bit more to advertise in these types of shows than it would for like a banner ad. And largely because we know that who's listening to the show, we know that people that are wanting to learn about tech, want to know about tech news, and more are early adopters, and we know the demographics, and you guys are, of course, doing our survey right now and updating that, so we get a better handle on where our family of listeners are right now. So as we're going through, and I'm basically sharing particular offers with you, you know, I'm very humble when you guys support me by trying a product or considering it as a client. Really, it's a direct reflection. Those shows have invested in this show because they think that you're the audience that this product will fit. And you guys do me no bigger honor than when you go out there and pick up a product from, like right now, we've got GoDaddy, of course, and we've got ADT as a sponsor. I'll talk about ADT a little bit later. But really, I'm pretty humbled in the response rate that continues, even for GoDaddy. Here they've been with us now since 2005. Month after month, you guys have come through. And we're trying some stuff new here now. We're trying to change up some offers. And one of the things we've got going on right now is private domain registration. And every once in a while, you want to do a little project, and you maybe just don't want someone to know who's behind the project. And or maybe you want to do a blog. My wife was real sensitive about doing a blog, especially a Japanese blog where her name was out there. And we've done some experiments with her and blogging and private domains, and it's worked out well. And so check it out, this private domain registration. And I've got a great discount code for you. If you use the promo code GEEKFREE, GEEKFREE, what you're going to do is you're going to, any .com you transfer in or any .com you buy or any domain that you buy or transfer in, and you use the GEEKFREE code, so long as you've added the private registration during the checkout process, you're going to get the private registration for free. And that's a $9.99 per year value. And that way, it's a great deal. It's cheap. And you can drop it after year one if need be. But I've got some domains out there that are private. But don't forget, you can go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, find all my codes. And of course, we've got a large number of them for you to save money with. Todd will save you 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 will save 20% on orders. Certain restrictions, of course, apply. But read through those offers and see what makes the best sense for you when you get to that checkout counter. Try them all and see which one works the best. And Todd20 is a 20% code off for 1 year shared hosting account. So then I thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. You know, I do this from time to time, and I just wanted to take just a second again, and I kind of alluded to it during the sponsor message, but, you know, really this show is for you. It's for this audience. And you guys know that over the past 2 or 3 months, I've tweaked the show just a little bit. And we haven't had no complaints on the tweaks. I think the format is working better. I like the way that I kind of structured it out. And the comments that are coming in privately are indicating that as well. But I really do. This show is about you. And you guys drive the direction of the show by your comments and feedback. And we love to hear from you. So don't be afraid to just drop me a line and say, Todd, love this segment, hated that. It always keeps things kind of moving here and keeps me in check to make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But I'm humbled that you guys have subscribed to the massive numbers that you have over the years. The show continues to grow. I mean, we're seeing, you know, every once in a while, I think, is the show going to plateau? Are we going to reach a level where we kind of reach the top and then, you know, the worst thing you want to do is see the numbers go down? And we've had fluctuations, and this time of year, there's always fluctuations because of it being summer. But I just want to let you guys know I value and thanks for being here. And if you guys get time, definitely check out the survey. The survey is available, and get that filled out. And that way, basically, I'll get a better idea of I'll know who you are. And that way we can, you know, it helps me with the show content as well. The last couple of weeks, you guys know I got hurt real bad in 2004 with a back injury, came out of it and recovered and have relatively been pain-free, but I've been having some issues over the last couple of weeks, and it has progressively gotten worse. And basically, when I was initially injured and coming back through recovery, there was a guy here in Honolulu that basically he fixed me. And if it wouldn't have been for him, I really don't know what road I would have been down from a walking perspective. And so basically I rescheduled. His name's John. It's actually his website is shiatsuguy.com. And I called John. I said, John, I need to come see you and fix you. He said, where you been? You should have been in here, you know, on a periodic basis. And he kind of scolded me. And it's true. I should have been in there once a month just getting a little tweak. But I went in and seen him. And boy, I tell you, really helped me out. And I'm going to be going on a regular basis and working that out. So that has been kind of a factor for me over the past couple of weeks. And when your back is like not right and your hip isn't right, you are definitely cranky, tired. And it, but hopefully we're on the road to recovery here. You just talk a little bit travel schedule. I fly out Saturday night. I go out to Texas. I'm out there for a week. I come home. So we're going to have two shows on the road. And then the Thursday show, I'm going to maybe be doing something a little different on the Thursday show. Might be producing it in a new way, just kind of unique because I have to travel that day. And so we'll see how the Thursday show goes. Be back here in Honolulu Friday night. Saturday morning, I graduate for my college. And then Saturday evening, I get on another airplane and I go out to Washington, D.C. So, yeah, it's going to be crazy. But we're going to be doing the next four shows are going to be on the road after this one. There will be a Saturday morning tech show on Saturday. There will be no Saturday morning tech next week because I have to be out of the house. Well, we might be able to squeeze it in. We'll see. Yeah, actually, I might be able to do one next weekend. So, of course, you know, pay attention to the other shows going on, and we want to thank the show host over there for that. All right, let's go ahead and take care of the last bit of, part of business here, and we'll get into the tech content. I got a stack of stuff for you here. And, you know, really, ladies, fellas, single moms, you know, who's watching your home when you're in it and when you're not in it? You know, what's going on? Are you comfortable in the neighborhood you're in? You know, I live in a very nice neighborhood. I have had relatively low crime. But yet, you know, living an online life, I have to, and traveling the way I do, have a very strong security system, cameras, the whole nine yards. It's a peace of mind for me, all of it monitored, and makes my wife feel very, very safe. And, you know, we had a neighbor a couple houses down. They got hit pretty bad a month and a half or so ago. They just, you know, backed a vehicle into the driveway, opened the back doors up, kicked the door in, and 15, 20 minutes later, they're out and the house has been ransacked. So they didn't hit this house because in my front yard, I've got security signs and, you know, premises under, you know, under monitoring and the whole nine yards. So I made it my house, you know, it's a much tougher target. And nothing is 100% perfect. But when your neighbor doesn't have an alarm system and you do, you know who's going to get hit. It's going to be your neighbor. So help protect your home with a security system monitored by ADT. Really, they're the leader in security. We've, you know, ADT's been in business a long time. Everyone's familiar with their name. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer. Call now and get $850 of equipment and activation for free. Here's the number. Why don't you get your pens ready here? 1-866-778-3127. That's 1-866-778-3127. When you call, tell them you heard about the offer on this show at Geek News Central, the Geek News Central podcast. And by calling that number, you guys help the show out. You know, check out their system. And there is a $99 installation charge. There is a contract you have to sign for a certain period of time as well. Call for terms and conditions and their license numbers. And again, ADT is the number one monitoring service in the country. Click on the link on the website. That'll get you there as well. But again, 866-778-3127. All right, I want to thank all the sponsors here, of course. And should have had the ADT link up there on the lower bottom third. I'm slacking off on doing the switching. Let's go ahead and get into the full line of content tonight. I've got a good stack of stuff for you here. Let me go and open the first one and let me bust that down so we don't have to look at that. That's good. All right, let's talk about the Chromebook. Got the Chromebook Tuesday. And as a matter of fact, it's sitting right here on the desk. Let me pull it up and show you guys. And for those of you that haven't seen one of these yet, I ordered the scaler and everything to get it patched into the TriCaster. Matter of fact, I was trying to get that done tonight and was not able to do it. Didn't have time to get it all set up. But watch what happens. And I'm going to take the thing down. For those of you that aren't watching or listening, oh, gosh, I did this on the unboxing. Let me show you how fast this thing boots. Watch. Boom. It's up that quick, and I don't know if you guys can see. The screen glare is horrible, and that was part of the problem during the unboxing, too. But here it is. You know, I'm just going to see if I can show you guys the main menu of this and what it looks like when you load it. But that's kind of that's what you get. You get a little, you know, it's got a bunch of, you know, I've loaded some apps. I've loaded the Revision 3 app. I loaded a photo editor, a clock, some different types of apps. And what I'm finding is some of the apps work great. Some of the apps don't work at all. So that's one of the things that Google's going to have to figure out is to tell us which of these apps are Chrome ready. But very nice, slim form factor. And the battery's left. I have not charged the battery. And I've been using this on and off since Tuesday. Remarkable, remarkable, remarkable battery life. And I'm, be honest with you, I'm kind of blown away on how long the battery lasts. I did sign up for their data plan, so I've used it with Wi-Fi and with data from Verizon. I used it both ways, really couldn't tell much of a difference. There are some things that, you know, you go to look and say, okay, oh, that's right. There's no start bar. There's nothing like on a MacBook where you've got a menu system down below. So I think, you know, I wrote a couple of articles already at Geek News Central, and I hope that you'll get over it and check them out. If you want to check the unboxing out, you can do that. I don't normally do unboxings, so you can see that it wasn't necessarily a great unboxing when I did it. But you can see the box and the packaging and how it came. And I'm still excited about this. I'm still excited about the Chrome OS and where this potential has to go. I think that, like anything else, it's going to take some time. And the only thing I'm a little concerned about is Google's had some time here. Since they put out those CR48s as kind of the test machines where they shared them with people or getting feedback. I don't know how much feedback they got because I honestly probably could write half dozen articles easy just in the 3 days and saying like this, hate this, like that, hate that. And what it really kind of feels to me like is that some of the cloud interaction is still kind of missing. And to be honest with you, some things that really annoyed me when I'm writing blog posts, many times I will, if I'm at a, basically at a website and it's I'm writing about a vendor, or maybe I'll do a screen capture, or they will have provided me digital graphics and I'll be able to put those in the blog post. And there was really difficulty for me to really manage images. And it was just didn't seem like a good way to do it. There's a way to do it in a file management system, but it's kind of hokey still. I haven't gotten my hands around it completely. And the screen capture apps that are on the Chrome Store don't work. So they're going to have to do something in the Chrome Web Store to basically say, this is Chrome OS ready or Chromebook ready, so that people have a better idea. I think that's what the biggest thing people are going to complain about. As far as a web browser, it's a web browser. And from that standpoint, you know, there's really nothing that's much different. You do have different ways of getting into the toolbars and the settings. This thing, I'll be honest with you, it's pretty dummy-proof. If you can connect to a Wi-Fi signal and you can sign up for, put a credit card in for a data plan, I mean, it's no-brainer. It really is. There's no brains required to run this thing. And really what this is really, should have been the laptop of, you know, what they were looking to send overseas to kids that were in different areas. But the price on this is high for the power of the laptop. You know, I would really have, and they have got to be making a big amount of money on this box, on this laptop. I can't imagine that they've got more than a couple $100 worth of actual components in this. It comes with 2 gigs of RAM, 16 gigs of memory. It has a dual N-core processor from Intel. The screen in it's pretty nice, but you know, it just feels a little, still feels just a little bit underpowered. Time will tell. And I guess my kids were playing with it. My wife was playing with it, you know, and she uses her iPad like 95% of the time. Now, over the past week, I have seen that she's been on her MacBook Pro more, using that, but she's been doing some other stuff. And so I let her play with this for a while and she thought it was cool. You know, so for her, it's a, you know, I don't want to have it induce a big confusion factor in trading between different devices all the time, because she's not super computer savvy. So, you know, going from a Windows machine to a Mac machine was hard enough. Now she's using a Mac primarily. Just going to kind of, you know, let her go there. Doesn't want to, you know, it just keeps my in-home tech support time down at a minimum. So she thought it was cool, and I guess we'll continue to play with it here, and I'm definitely going to be doing the Chrome Show at thechromeshow.com. Of course, it'll also be simulcast here at Geek News Central, be part of our family of shows. And, you know, what I'm really doing at this point is focusing on, you know, building the plan for the show and how this show's going to be put forth and what I'm going to be sharing with you guys. I was actually approached by another Chrome OS site saying they wanted to partner up, but I don't know if I'm going to do that or not. I was watching the content on their site. I haven't decided yet whether or not it's a good fit. And but the main thing is anything I do, it has to lead to revenue. I got to eat. And that's the main thing with the Chrome OS show. We'll see how that goes and what kind of a following we get. But based on the unboxing so far, I think it's going to be big, because we had on the website on YouTube, I think we had about 3,000 views over there, but the number of people coming to the website, I'm well over 40 or 50,000 views on the unboxing already, and that's remarkable. That's a remarkable number for a video on the site. So we'll see how it goes, and we'll be talking more about Chrome and the Chrome Show. Be launch, I don't know, if I get everything ready, maybe we'll do one Saturday. If not, it'll be when I get back. So, but it's just one of those things that will come with time, like a good wine. Now let's move on here and talk about Apple. Apple has revised the App Store content rules. And they buckled. I think they basically got a little bit worried. But basically what they've done here is they basically are allowing everyone to charge whatever price they want to charge now. They don't have to have a price that is at or lower than what's on other websites. So this is big. Now, early this year, when they announced this initial policy, it was a lot of people were upset. And I think they've listened. And I think that they finally understood that they really risked their continual advancement in the space by basically forcing companies into impossible situations, such as Amazon, who is already handling 70% of their book sales over to the authors, and they was only left with 30%. So if Apple was taking 30% of that, then there was nothing left. So they had to have a way to have a different business model. So now they've changed it. So the pricing is, there can be a delta in the pricing. So we'll see where this comes out at in the end. And so Apple's, I guess for a better word, has, for the first time in a long time, blinked. For a better word, they have blinked. But a lot of good commentary on this. The article that I got my source information at was over at the technologizer.com, technologizer.com. And, of course, their link to their website will be up in the show notes. Hey, I want to talk, this particular TV personality is very, very controversial. And I don't want to talk at all about the politics of what this guy does. Okay. So I don't want to talk about that at all, but I want to just talk for a second about what Glenn Beck is going to do. There's a great article over on GigaOM talking about how Glenn Beck wants to disrupt cable. He either got fired from Fox or was told to leave or whatever it was. He's also a syndicated radio person. I've never heard his radio show. But what he's going to be doing in September, he is going to launch a new online TV channel. And I think I heard it advertised like TVTV.com or TVTV.tv or something like that. But essentially what he's going to do is this new online model, viewers are going to pay $5 a month to access The Daily Show. And premium subscribers will pay $10 a month and get access to the video broadcast of his radio show as well. I guess he made an announcement yesterday. And the folks here at GigaOM don't have a lot of more information about this. But he's already got 80,000 paying subscribers for some kind of a fan club that he's doing for his current radio show. And he's already giving them access to video streams of that. So I guess, he's kind of got this pre-built audience. You think about 80,000 paying subscribers. And if they were to pay 10 bucks a month each, that's 800 grand. I'm going to tell you, that goes a long way in paying a lot of bills. if everyone in this show contributed $5 a month, we'd have no advertisers ever. I would never have a need to have another advertiser again. I could hire instantly. I could hire a staff person. It would change things incredibly. But, the situation here is most of you are used to getting your content free. You're used to not, you listen to maybe 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 shows. You have to decide who you're going to contribute to. So to make a long story short, the pay model will work, I think, for semi-celebrities like this guy and others. But I'm really, I'm excited from a content provider standpoint for this guy to succeed. Politics aside, whatever who's going to follow is going to follow, and who's going to pay is going to pay. But what it really is going to do is there's been many attempts to build TV networks. And, I think the folks at Twit are doing a great job. I think the folks at Revision 3 are doing a great job. We've got a lot of initiatives going on at Raw Voice where we're going to be announcing some cool stuff with a new site called rawvoice.tv. So, I'm excited from this standpoint because we understand that there's some value in valuable programming and having people, you know, pay a fee or have an advertiser supported. But, you know, to deliver this media is very, 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 very expensive, especially when you're delivering video. You know, the advertising, you look at the cost to deliver it as compared to how much you're making on the advertising, and the margins are very, very tight on video. So a lot of the advertising dollars that you earn, if you know, the worst where more advertisers are better, is that you spend so much money delivering the media that you are left over with a percentage of that to, you know, pay yourself. And just kind of the way it is now, audio, you know, thank God goodness that you guys are like, you know, like 75% of the audience is audio, because the audio costs almost nothing to deliver. So I make it up in the audio portion quite a bit. And almost video is almost like this loss leader to a certain extent. It's really not a loss leader, but the margins are much tighter. But at $10 a month or $5 a month, then it gets to the point where the margin gets to be where it should be at a 20 or 25% rate. And that you can live on. So we'll see what this guy does. And politics aside, we'll see what he's able to bring to the marketplace and what he does and how he presents it. And if he can afford a production staff, you know, here I am, I'm a production staff of one, and with probably, you know, same type of equipment he's going to have, but he's probably going to have a production team. And believe me, that makes a big difference when you're doing shows and you got people that worry about all the other stuff. You know, I have to get done with the show and I have to do the post-production. So we'll see what happens with what Glenn Beck does in his online premium stuff. And we'll see if any more people do this. I don't know, has there been any other celebrities besides Adam Carolla? I know Adam Carolla's gone huge from a comedy standpoint in his network. So, you know, aren't any of you guys paying? Are you guys paying Twit? Are you guys paying Carolla? Are you guys contributing? I know that we have a number of folks that contribute to this show, and I want to thank, of course, all the insiders that do contribute on a monthly basis, whether you're on the $2, $5, $10, or $25 plan. I definitely appreciate it. And, of course, there's a link to the Insider Program on the website. But we'll see if he's able to disrupt cable. We're sure trying. We've been trying now since 2004. And originally, we were disrupt the radio. Well, radio kind of figured out that they need to be in the podcast business, too. And the commercial folks did. So now it's basically a competition. And, you know, they kill us when their production value and they have millions of dollars to deal with and beautiful studios. And so here we are in my beautiful studio. But anyway, kind of cool to see where this is going to go. And another TV virtual network. Let's talk just a little bit about World IPv6 Day. Well, it went pretty smooth. Tuesday evening, hundreds of web destinations, including the four most popular ones worldwide, show up on the IPv6 internet. IPv's traffic went up a lot in relative terms, but still was pretty small blip as compared to the overall internet traffic. They did have some problems. Some folks in Sweden were doing an IPv6 overnight all-nighter, trying to convert many sites as they could to get them up on the IPv6 system. Being Yahoo, CNN all added their IPv6 addresses. I was asking Angelo about this. He's, oh yeah, we're all IPv6 ready. And I'm like, how does that work? And I don't think Geek News Central's IPv6 ready. And I guess I'm going to have to get some help in here to get that set up. But because to be honest with you, I DNS stuff like that, I can barely hold my own on regular DNS stuff. So, you know, I may be a geek, but that's one thing I've never been good at. And it's not that hard. It's just pain in the, as we say here in Japanese, pain in the okoli, pain in the butt. So anyway, IPv6 day went good. Did you guys notice any difference? Did you guys go to any sites, or were there any sites that you couldn't get to? KL wrote a good article as well at Geek News Central about IPv6 as well. So I have a couple links up to some articles there. Well, there's some, you know, there's been some, over the past, about a year, the governments have been in the marching forward plan and trying to basically tame the wild, wild west. And the folks over at Ars Technica have a great article kind of summarizing some of the stuff that's been going on recently. Back in February, UK Foreign Secretary William Hague sounded a dire warning about the state of the net. And he basically says the intelligence reports I see as foreign secretary show that just one criminal computer program can harvest over 30 gigabytes of stolen passwords and credit card details from over 100 countries in a matter of days, causing millions of pounds worth of fraud. So, you know, they go into this, we need to do something. We need to crack down. We need to regulate and stop and, you know, have control. And basically, UK wants to begin discussion with seven principal countries, one of them being the United States, to develop new international rules. And here they are. The need for governments to act proportionately in cyberspace in accordance with national and international law. The need for everyone to have the ability in terms of skills, technology, confidence, and opportunity to access cyberspace. The need for users of cyberspace to show tolerance, respect for diversity of language, culture, and ideas. I think we're already doing that. Ensuring that cyberspace remains open to innovation and allow the free flow of ideas, information, expression. The need to respect individual rights of privacy and to provide proper protection of intellectual property. See, there's a little one. The need for us all to work collectively to tackle the threat from criminals acting online and the promotion of a competitive environment which ensures a fair return on investment in network services and content. And I think, you know, you look at that on the surface, you say that's, you know, that's pretty good stuff. You know, that makes sense. Yeah, you have open, people have access, and people have equal rights to it, no blockage, you know, blah, blah, blah. That all that whole, that's not bad. But in a trip that the president made here to UK, they issued a joint statement calling for rules of the road in cyberspace. And both of them talked about the London International Cyber Conference as a key event at which consensus would be sought on such rules. And of course, the United States issued a cybersecurity policy document of its own, which threatened even military retaliation if another country attacked us. And the French got real excited about hearing about this new policy. And he's going to be pushing for creation of the EG8 conference. And so we're going to see what happens here. But I guess when he pushed for the creation of the EG8 conference, which took place just before a major G8 summit. In his keynote, he made clear that law and order and control would be coming to the internet. Now, that's kind of scary when someone says that law and order and control will be coming to the internet. And the French have been pretty aggressive in implementing control. But it goes on to look at this ongoing actions by governments to try, and you know, I think at some points they're trying to do the right thing, but obviously they want a lot more restrictions on stuff. You know, the copyright owners are basically have lobbied so hard that, you know, you now in Tennessee, if you share your Netflix password, you know, you can go to jail. You know, it's a crime. It's a felony to share your Netflix password with someone that doesn't belong, someone in your family. And so, you know, there's the both extremes where they're trying to have open and they're trying to have control. So the question I have for all of you, can they do this? Can they implement controls and policies to try to regulate the criminal activities going on the internet? And at the same time, is it going to be, are these not going to be too burdensome where there are privacy concerns, where there is rights concerns? Are they really going to be able to have an open internet? Do we really think that they can do this? Do you think this is they're going to be able to keep the internet free of, you know, and allow people to have expression? If you look at what ICE just did, and I have this, do I have this linked up? Where do I have this? Let me see if I can find it real quick. I had it later in the, it was on Torrent. Okay, so, you know, if they're really looking for that, you know, ICE has been seizing domains that they consider to be copyright violators, people that are selling like Gucci bags and they're fakes and that kind of stuff. But they seized a new domain called, and the domain was lowellsfacts.com. It was a domain operated by a anti-vaccine and self-described medical research and truth information blogger by the name of Lowell Hubs. Now, this guy, according to the article over Torrent Freak, and I have never been to this dude's website, seems to be one of these really out there. I mean, hardcore conspiracy theorist, almost to the point of like a little scary, crazy. You know, that was, you know, that's kind of the implication that they, and I'm not saying this guy is, this is just what the guys are saying in, on Torrent Freak, and then their exact words, he's a deranged beep conspiracy theorist. And so they want to know, why would I seize this guy's, even if he was out there talking, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff, why would they seize this guy's website? You know, because he's out, maybe he's out there, he's speaking what he feels the truth, the right, you know, and basically he's saying this is, you know, he's using his freedom of speech. And, you know, I fought for this country to protect the right for people to have freedom of speech, no matter what their opinion is. But they're saying the site was offering unauthorized files or peddling counterfeit products. And the guy says, hey, I don't know why they took my site down. He says, apparently, as I was told, there are links or hidden links hacked into the site that go to illegal porn and as well likely music downloads or movies or links to counterfeit something, Hubs explains. Now, illegal porn, you know, that, boom, that's illegal porn. What's that? That's child porn. So if there was links on the website to child porn, you know, all bets are off. And if they've had if they thought this guy was, had stuff in there where people could secretly get to it, you know, all rights, they had the rights to take this down. But, you know, even having links to music downloads or movies doesn't necessarily make a site illegal. So who knows what this really boils down to. He has put up a page on a website saying that there were 70 gigs of files on there, and he insists they weren't his. And says, it wasn't me, I don't have any of this. So anyway, but still, ICE took the site down and seized it. So, isn't, you know, he wasn't selling nothing like these other sites. They probably took it down because if there was kiddie porn in there, that obviously that's why it went down. But at the same time, you know, if you got that on your site, don't you get arrested at the same time? Don't they haul you away in cuffs and take it and read your rights and you go see a judge and you're charged for that kind of activity? He wasn't taken to jail. They just seized the domain. So going back to this civilized internet question, you know, I think a lot of us are concerned about what ICE is doing in seizing domains. And every case is different. We all don't know the full story about this stuff. But on the surface, some of it looks a little, right? Looks a little fishy, right? So I guess the question is can they do this? Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Or call the show hotline at 619-342-7365. Obviously, I want to hear what you guys have to say about this. But very, very interesting on where things are headed. And, you know, if we get all conspiracy theory here, and I don't want to do that, everyone's going to say, oh, the government's out to get us. And I don't know. I don't think so. All right, let's go quickly through some other articles here. Microsoft lose final appeal in the $290 million patent case. So Supreme Court on Thursday unanimously upheld a $200 million award against Microsoft. So the Canadian software company i4i, big bang, big cash day for the i4i limited partnership, which was basically a holding company for patents. Today announced was the Wii U. The Wii U is a new controller. And it has a video camera built in, opening door for video chat in the living room to a whole new generation of gamers. For many gamers, especially youngsters that have Nintendo, the Wii U will be the first mass market device to enable them to video chat with their friends. So that's kind of an interesting new device by the folks over there. So that was announced today, the Wii U. So I haven't actually seen a picture of this thing yet, but as soon as I do, I'll have a link up to it. NBC was able to renegotiate the rights to basically be the broadcast company for the Olympics. Congratulations to NBC Universal for that. One thing they have said here in their $4.38 billion deal to be able to have the broadcast rights between 2014 and 2020 is that they are going to stream everything live this year. None of these delays. Everything will be live during the next Olympics. So I'm glad they learned from that. Hey, over on GigaOM, Web Video World heads for Vegas for CES. I can't believe that I actually started thinking about CES this morning. I actually did some initial planning documents and sent some stuff off over to CEA. It's June, and I got to start planning for CES already. Didn't we just get done with CES? But anyway, the International Academy of Web Television, IAWTV, will hold its first IAWTV award show to honor the best online web series in conjunction with the 2012 CES in Vegas. So that we have. That'd be cool. I would definitely want to go to that. Hey, the folks over at MakeUseOf.com, they've got a G Media Finder. Have you ever heard about G Media Finder? It's an application out there that allows you to watch and download YouTube videos and music without Flash. It works both in Linux and Windows. So you can basically, it's pretty easy to use. And basically, you build a playlist and you download the video file and it stores it on board and you're able to watch it right on your screen without having to have downloaded it. If it allows you, here's what would be cool, and I haven't checked it out yet, but I will, is if it allows you to kind of choose the stuff you want to load and then it downloads. But it'd be really good if they had an iPad app, but it's FLV files, so won't play on the iPad, that's for sure. But it might be something you'd have on your laptop can travel with, and some of this longer format stuff that's coming to YouTube would be cool to do that. Hey, Boxy, you had an event in London and basically announced a new BBC iPlayer for those of you in the UK. The new BBC iPlayer is available now, and it's back and better than ever. And you're going to have the Blink Box as well. You're going to have online movies and TV website Blink Box is coming to the UK Boxy Box. And also they gave a sneak peek at the Boxy for iPad app too. So pretty cool what the Boxy folks are doing. Not only are they staying in the box on your computer, but getting into devices as well. So it's becoming a much richer platform. I love it because we've got channels on Boxy. And where Boxy goes, this show will go. And pretty excited about that as well. So pretty cool stuff from the folks over at Boxy. Hey, Panasonic and AT&T teaming up for connected cars. And basically what they're going to be doing is high-end automaker BMW and Audi have are starting to work with the folks at Panasonic and AT&T to come up with their entertainment systems in their vehicles. And so pretty cool stuff what they're going to be doing there. Now, you've seen some of the stuff Panasonic has done on some of the converted United aircraft, and Panasonic does some pretty cool stuff in entertainment systems. So we'll see where this leads with this combination. How many of you have even considered that your apps are storing your username and password unencrypted? Well, there's a website called viaforensics.com that has a great service called AppWatch. And what this does is it basically has went through and looked at iPhone and Android apps and basically talked about, are they secure? Are they sharing sensitive data? Do they encrypt it? Does the password actually get hidden? So you can see here, AIM fails. Android Mail Exchange, Android Hotmail fails. Bank of America Now is passing. They fixed their app. Bump fails. All these, Foursquare fails, Gmail fails, Groupon, sharing, basically keeping usernames and passwords right there unencrypted. So pretty cool site at viaforensics.com, and definitely you'll want to check out some of the apps that you have. Hey, over on Dvorak Uncensored, he's got a video here of Steve Jobs' presentation at the Cupertino, city council meeting where Steve Jobs came in and talked about this new Apple complex they want to build that looks like a spaceship. And there's a 21-minute video, and I watched it as I was getting ready for the show prep. I had played over here, and I was basically listening more than I was watching. And Steve talked about the new building and how it's green and, you know, all this stuff. But what really kind of blew me away was the absolute butt kissing that was going on this by this city council. You want to see who you've elected and how they. I'm sorry, but this city council could barely contain themselves. And this one gal who was part of the city council, she was asking Steve for Wi-Fi and basically says, hey, we pay taxes in this city and you guys should provide Wi-Fi. But she was, how this lady got elected is beyond me, because it really, I don't know this lady, but first impressions are a lot. And I was not impressed. Absolutely not impressed at all. And I think she even announced one of the Apple products wrong, and Wi-Fi thing or something. Really said, I just was like, oh my gosh. And my prediction is this is already out and viral. And if enough people watch this, there's no way someone's going to reelect her to the city council. I don't get me wrong. She may be a great lady and who knows. But my first impression was, holy smacks. That's I'll let you guys watch it. It's a 21-minute video. Pretty cool. So you see what they've got planned with their new campus. Hey, Groupon's going to be introducing loyalty cards. And advertisers love this because they're going to be able to track basically what you're doing. And another way to see if this advertising that the Groupon's doing is effective from a follow-up perspective. And advertisers always worried about conversion rates and how many times, are they getting the most bang for their buck. And, I hear this all the time. Well, how do you know? How do you know if they're going to make a sale? How do you know they've listened all the way through the show? How do you know? Well, we don't, but we have some pretty good ideas based on other empirical data that we have. And, little things like I do a contest at the end of the show, or I do a contest at the beginning of the show. I see who responds and what the response rate is. There's certain things that I do. I ask for certain feedback at the end versus the front. And if you guys, how you respond really kind of makes me understand how you guys are listening or not. And so we know. And you guys knew that, right? So it's not for all for the advertisers. It's just more for me to really know what this show's, how it's reaching you. And but anyway, everyone's all excited about these loyalty cards. And I'm sure they're going to have a lot of them out there. Now, this is a stretch. The IDC, which claims to be a premier global marketing intelligence company. Hey, Rob, if you're listening, they're predicting the Windows Phone 7 is going to overtake the iPhone by 2015. I don't know about that one. That's a pretty big order. Hey, you want to buy an advertiser on Twitter? Only cost you $120,000 for a promoted trend advertisement. One day, $120,000. Mostly done by car companies. Toyota, HBO, Samsung. Hey, Toyota, you come over and spend $120,000 with me a quarter, I absolutely guarantee you a bigger response for your advertising dollars than anything that you're going to get for $120,000 on Twitter. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but that's an amazing amount of money for one day. That is an amazing amount. Well, what do you think? Have you guys clicked on those promoted tweets? Are you guys responding to them? Are you looking at them? Are you clicking on them? Do you click on them more than you click on my ads? Maybe you do. But for $120,000, I can put, we can get 200 shows on it. Well, not 200. That would be for $120 for a quarter. It's maybe 100 shows on a buy. But definitely reach a lot of people. Hey, Congress members are producing 30 fewer tweets since the certain congressman's been taking certain pictures and putting them up on the net. And there's a great graphic here for you to check out. And Congress is getting a little gun shy here. First of all, I talked about this in the Saturday Morning Tech Show. Why? Who in their right mind takes a picture like that? I just don't get it. So anyway, here is the number of, here's how it breaks down. Republicans are tweeting 27% less. Democrats are tweeting 29% less. And the numbers really dropped off. And you wonder why. Now, it's pretty funny to look at this because, like, on May 26th, before this thing announced, 910 Republicans, 240 on Democrats. Next day, 410 on the Republicans, 209 on Democrats. The day of the event that it was announced, the numbers went down to 191 to 88. So there's huge drop off, and the trend continues. You can see a huge drop off. But well, people get a little scared of Twitter. It's okay to use Twitter. Just, you know, don't take pictures of yourself and send them to people that you don't know. The mobile carriers are sweating as texting is cooling off. They didn't have growth rates as high as they have in the past. They only saw an 8.7% increase from the prior 6 months, which is a much lower growth rate. And the mobile folks, of course, make a huge amount of money on texting. So they're stressing that this is going to hurt their bottom line. As iOS 5 and other types of platforms come out, introduce new technologies and that makes it easier to send text without going through their network. Skype has joined forces with Tell US to bring affordable international calling rates to customers in Canada. So for those of you that are up in old Canada, you're going to have some new international calling rates. And let me look here. Where's the actual pricing? Oh, they don't show it, do they? Oh, that's too bad. I was actually going to look and see how it compared to what we're paying. So anyway, I have this link in the show notes for those of you that are in Canada. You definitely want to check this out. Hey, now, this here is pretty brave. The folks over at Anonymous has told NATO, don't challenge us. Responding to a recent report from the North Atlantic Treaty Organization condemning Anonymous, the online hacktivist group has issued a response warning the global organization not to challenge it. That is, that's pretty strong. In response, basically, people took this pretty seriously. Anonymous tried to soften its stance in parts by saying that it doesn't want to threaten anyone's way of life or terrorize any nation, but made it clear its reaction to NATO's report. And they said, finally, do not make the mistake of challenging Anonymous, warned Anonymous in its message. Do not make the mistake of believing you can behead a headless snake. If you slice off one head of Hydra, 10 more heads will grow in its place. If you cut down one Anon, 10 more will join us purely out of anger at your trampling of dissent. Well, boy, all I can say is I got some guts. Don't want to be on the receiving end of any organization like that. Very, very interesting. Okay, some compelling iOS 5 features you may have overlooked. I have a link up in the show notes from ours, some cool stuff on the new iMessage, some cool stuff for accessibility. For those of you that have had accessibility concerns with Apple products, they've got some new accessibility features. They've also got some stuff on working with making it easier to work with network stuff. And they have some different types of ringtones now they're going to set for different types of activities. And basically set custom tones and vibration patterns for new voicemail, new mail, sent mail, calendar alerts, etc. So anyway, I have this link up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. Hey, a judge is pretty furious at some lawyers. Basically, what some lawyers did is they filed 23,322 lawsuits against anonymous defendants. And most of them, of course, don't live in the areas where they filed the suit. They requested through the judge expedited discovery in the case, which would allow them to quickly secure the subpoenas necessary to go to the internet access providers. So basically, they got the authority to go through and get the subpoenas, but they never served the subpoenas. And federal judge is not happy. Blasted the group of Dunlap, Grubb, and Weaver. And they said that what they did was inexcusable. And this is big. So apparently 2 months after the judge approved the subpoenas, they still have not been served. It said that this behavior, he has now revoked them. Explaining his decision, the judge said the delay was especially surprising, that the fact that one plaintiff stated reasons for good cause for the expedited discovery was that the ISPs typically retain the information that the plaintiff seeks only for a limited period of time. So they just didn't want to spend the money to serve them. That's what was going on. So some win there for those folks that may have been under the gun. Hey, Citigroup is another 200Ks hacked. They'll be informing customers directly if they were. Chrome 12 has arrived with the security rendering improvements. So basically, you've got information now that's helping you do a little more blocking on telling them who you are. And so you got some selections now where you can actually shut off allowing sites to save information on the computer and actually reject information, which is cool. The folks over at iFixit have a teardown of the Samsung Chromebook that I did the unboxing on, and you can get a full detail on that. And there is a couple of articles over on Slashdot, one that was pretty surprising linked here. The security officer at Google Apps, Aaron Fingenbaum, said public concerns over data sovereignty in outsourced environments are unwarranted. He said businesses should worry about security and privacy of data rather than where their data is stored. Wow. Those comments clash with those made by IT pros, including Gartner, who said cloud providers like Google can't be trusted with sensitive data. I'm telling you, if you have something real sensitive, do you want to store it in the cloud? Do you trust it in the cloud? Do you think it should be in the cloud? I'd love to hear you guys think if you can trust data in the cloud. Call the show hotline, 619-342-7365 or geeknews@gmail.com. Hey, I'm already going long here. I've got a whole bunch of stuff yet to get through. Skip that one here. There's a good academic fair use case for those of you that are involved in education or even librarians. There's something you guys really need to pay attention to. I wanted to talk about this in depth, but I really didn't have enough time. So there's a trial underway that you need to be fully aware of. It's over on TechDirt. I'll have that link up in the show notes. Apparently, the federal government also is running ads secretly created and owned by NBC Universal. They're doing them as PSA announcements. And but apparently this is something that ICE is doing. So ICE licensed videos from NBC Universal, but there's some kind of people are like, oh, why? And basically some disclosure stuff going on. So the people are pretty upset about that. You guys know that Facebook is now doing a bunch of facial recognition stuff, so make sure you're checking your privacy settings. The new Mars rover mission may require more funding. Of course, everyone's out of cash now, so that shouldn't come as a surprise. Of course, we've got a new crew up at the International Space Station. Three new people are up there. There was a Soyuz that launched on Wednesday. And lifted off Tuesday our time. And I guess they're on board already. I think that's it. I got a whole bunch of stuff here, but I'm going to run out of time before. I'm doing okay on time. It's only hour 3. So let me see if I can get through this stuff. Hey, Android Market tells you which apps work on your device. This is a good thing that they've done on the Android market, at least, that Google has. Google began taking steps to address this issue last year. So now when you basically get ready to load an app on the Android marketplace, it tells you which phones that the app will work with. So this is a new compatibility check, and this is a bad thing about having multiple vendors. This is the control Apple has over the hardware, so you won't ever have this issue. Same thing we're going to see with Chrome OS, but we made an app for Blueberry.com, and it's on the Android market. But we didn't go through and test it with every device. I couldn't afford to buy every phone and have it tested on. So I guess if you guys load our Blueberry app on the Android phone, If it doesn't work, email me and let me know that it's broke, okay? We hope it works. Microsoft has hired a 14-year-old after he hacks Call of Duty. Well, apparently, two ways to get a job there. And but Microsoft has hired a kid that, wait a minute. No. This was an inaccurate media report. At the bottom it says Microsoft did not offer to mentor a 14-year-old, nor did they hire him. So bogus article here. Glad I scrolled down to the bottom before we got too deep into that. So the 14-year-old did not get a job. And of course, is it legal to even hire someone in Ireland at 14 years old to get a job? AT&T, boy, oh boy, more drop calls in more places. How many of you, every time you're in a car on your AT&T cell phone with the iPhone, boom, 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 drops anytime you change cell towers, drives me insane. And I guess I'm not the only one seeing it. More people are seeing it more and more and more. I can't go from one tower to the next. I know, right? I say, okay, I'm talking person. I'm going to lose you right here. Click. Every time. Well, what is AT&T's problem? Really? What is their problem? Last couple articles here. 18 reasons to let HTML5 and start pinning the IE9 in the winter of development. Some cool stuff here at windowsstreamblog.com. So talking about some cool stuff on HTML5. I have a link in the show. It's kind of a weird title on that article. Also, we talk about Windows Phone makes Android app porting easier. They've got a new application out there. Same thing about Webmaster Tools on Bing. I didn't even know there was Webmaster Tools on Bing. So if you want to see how your site's being indexed and so forth on Bing, make sure you check out this article on their Webmaster Tools. Last couple of things, Skype is offering half-off premium calling plans now through July. So if you're looking to save a little money. And I got two cool apps for you. One of them I just don't think anyone will buy, but if you're having problems with too much stuff on top of your flat screen TV, you'll definitely want to get one of these. It's called the Tri-Mount. It wrangles all of your motion gaming accessories onto one device. There is no way that's coming in my house. My wife would see that and it would go in the trash can. Will not happen. And the best app of all, the best app I've ever seen. And fellas, you're going to love this. You're going to want to get one. Ladies, you want the best. You want the absolute best Father's Day gift. The Eye Opener. Cracks open a cold one. Keeps track of what you're drinking. It's called the Eye Opener. So, you'll never be without a can opener, okay? So, for the beer lovers out there, there you go. All right, let's go ahead and get into email real quick, and then we'll bounce you guys out of here. Let me load this, and we'll load that. Hey, Rachel, do you listen to the show? Rachel Davis at racheldavis65 at some email address. Do you listen to the show? Why would you send me the link that you sent me? Can I ask that? If you're a listener to the show, I'll read your link, but at least announce my, at least list my site in your article if you want me to link to it, you know? So yeah, Rachel, you know, if you're listening, email me. I'll say it out loud if you're actually listening. Hey, Frank, thanks for your email. Another student has sued the Marion County School District. I guess more of the same. The school district claims that the individual's out for money. I don't sympathize with them. And, you know, they're spying on these kids. So this is an article on ABC Local in that area. Thanks for that, Frank. Appreciate it. Tim says, hey, Todd, what's the status of the GNC iPhone app? Maybe I missed the passing word on one of your shows, but it hasn't been mentioned in a long while. I was kind of looking forward to it. Tim, me too. Tom, are you listening? When are we going to get the iPhone app? In all honesty, I'm at the point now where it's been so long, I'm probably just going to have to hire someone else to do it. I don't think that Tom has had time to finish it up. I know he's been busy. I guess I'll just call him, say, how much do I owe you? Send the code over to me and turn it over to someone else. So if we got an iPhone developer on the show, they can take his code and finish it up and get this thing finally published. If we do, send me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. I got an email from Keith. He says, hey, congrats on getting your Chromebook, and I totally bookmarked the site for the show. Can't wait to really see it in action. I know they can view it in action from different sources, yet I feel almost like watching someone in my family showing the ins and outs of the Chromebook. As always, I know that you'll be able to create another great show, but still good luck. Will the show have a podcast version? I realize that for the most part, you're going to be showing demos of the Chromebook. It is with The Gadget Professor, and some other shows, I'd like to have the option to also download an MP3 version of the show, specifically if there's a lot of news, commentary, just talk. There's going to be everything. So, yes, there will be a podcast version, of course. Absolutely. And I got one more email about a picture of Endeavor in the International Space Station docked together, and it's from the BBC. I'll have that link up in the show notes. And Eric sent me, Eric in Japan, hey, Eric, aloha. He sent me a link for Twitch TV. It's Justin TV's new gaming vertical, and I don't understand why they spun that off to Eric. I really, really don't. But I think that's what I have. Yep, that's what I've got for you for emails to the show. So everyone, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. We hope that you enjoyed the show. Send your commentary in. Got lots of questions here. Remember, at the beginning of the show, we're talking about some pretty heavy stuff there that I'd love to hear your feedback on. And, you know, it's really one of those situations now, you know, is the government going to really try to take control more? Do you think there's a happy medium? Do you think that individuals like Glenn Beck are going to be able to help disrupt cable any further with his new TV network, politics aside? Any experience with IPv6 day and so forth? You know, so we covered a lot of stuff today. Any thoughts on the patent loss by Microsoft and on these this company that was a patent troll? And love to hear you guys' feedback on anything that we covered today in the show as well. But as always, stay subscribed. Thanks for sharing with your friends and family and people that you know. And it is greatly appreciated. Definitely check out the Ohana store. Links are all up at geeknewscentral.com. And thanks to sponsors ADT and GoDaddy for being here and keeping the lights on for us. So for everyone take care. We'll see you on Saturday for the Saturday Morning Tech Show. And then the next GNC, of course, will be live. I'll be on Central Standard Time. So about 8 p.m. Central is when you'll want to come over to Geek News Central for the live stream. And, of course, we'll be on webcams next week. So not as fancy of a studio because we'll be in a hotel room. But we'll be there on time for you. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.